The Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, John Spees.
I'm your co-host, Adam Spees.
Today, we are continuing our first round in our 2024 Patron Tournament. In one corner, someone who made prep for this episode a little bit harder because I had to replace some of his questions, it's David Avalafia.
Howdy.
David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Remind the folks at home a little bit about you.
My name's David Avalafia. I live in Sarasota, Florida. I am a trivia host and a one-time stand-up comic.
Just one time?
Oh, well, for 4 years.
At one time.
Okay. In the other corner, the man everyone loves to hate is Nick Groves. Hey, Nick.
People hate me?
As if you don't revel in it.
Remind the folks at home a little about you, please.
I am from Washington, D.C., and I do trivia for a living, whether it's on the Oaks Media Group podcasts of Trivial Warfare or Things That Are Blank, which is an awesome show that you should check out, or with the company I run here in D.C., District Trivia, or with the apps that I've created in Trivial Rush and Triviamatic. I'm all trivia all the time, and now I'm on this podcast slated to win the tournament by at least one person.
Oh, wow. Someone believes in you. Was it yourself? Did you do it when you fill out a bracket?
All right, folks. So let's learn how to play the game.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, before we get started, I of course want to know David and Nick just a little bit better, and I've been revisiting some of my favorite Westerns recently. Ooh. So I want you to tell me, what is your favorite Western film?
I would have to say The Searchers.
Okay.
Just, classic. Yeah.
But why?
John Wayne at his, you know, at his politically incorrect best.
I'm going to go with Paint Your Wagon. Who doesn't like a Western musical?
Well, unfortunately for you, Nick, I don't really like a Western musical.
Yeah, of course.
I'd probably have to go with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Sure. Classic.
Classic. Yes. Love it. But as you can guess, David's definitely going to get the pick first in this one.
I learned a long time ago I'm not going to win one of these, so.
Before we get going, John, I do want to call out, this is the first time in Throwback Trivia Takedown history that a current 200 Club member is facing another 200 Club member. Both of them showing off their pins right now. That is that's some hot stuff. I'm not going to lie.
They're so shiny.
All right. Well, let's see how this goes down. David, what category are we starting off in?
Coming as no surprise to anybody, movies, please.
Movies. And we're going to start in the 70s.
David Bowie's feature film debut was in what 1975 sci-fi drama that also starred Candy Clark and Rip Torn?
I believe that is The Man Who Fell to Earth.
The Man Who Fell to Earth is correct. Good.
Starting strong.
I hate it when my opponent gets a hard answer that I know.
All right, Nick, which category would you like?
Let's go with news and politics.
Okay. And we're going to be in the 60s for that.
In 1961, CIA-backed Cuban exiles launched a failed attempt to remove Fidel Castro from power. This event became known as what?
The Bay of Pigs?
Bay of Pigs is correct. Strong start, and we are back to David.
Less impressive, though, because Nick's was an easier question.
Hey, don't give away my strategy for winning.
All right, let's go with music.
Okay. A little music from the 80s.
And we have a question from Janelle Alfsted-Madsen. Thank you, Janelle.
Thanks, Janelle.
Thanks, Janelle.
Fans loved the 1981 Juice Newton version of this pop country crossover, which spent 2 weeks at number one on the pop charts and 14 on the country charts.
Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts is correct.
Not that one.
All right, back to Nick.
Let's go with television.
TV.
Right. TV from the 2000s.
What PBS preschool superhero was created when Angela C. Santomero pitched it? Where? Nickelodeon. Who passed on it? And how?
PBS preschool superhero. Preschool superhero. God, I'm just trying to learn. Remember, my kids are too old now for all of this stuff, but what did they listen to? What did they watch? There was the kid with the green, green logo. What was it called? Super Y? Super Y.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Super Y is correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Well done. And wonderfully written question from Janelle. Yeah. That was very well done.
I wrote that question.
The last one was from Janelle. My bad. You know what? Janelle, I just love you so much.
Credit where credit is due, okay? I've been waiting to tell that question for a while.
Adam, I think the bottom line is that Janelle's question was so good, it made John's question better.
Yeah, that must have been it.
All right. We're back to David.
Let's give literature a shot.
Literature is coming literature. At you. From the 90s.
Unlike Weezer's Sweater, this 1992 debut novel by Wally Lamb about a young lady named Dolores was selected as the New York Times Notable Book of the Year.
I'm not happy because Nick is nodding his head. can I get a reread, please?
Unlike Weezer's Sweater, this 1992 debut novel by Wally Lamb about a young lady named Dolores was selected as the New York Times Notable Book of the Year.
I am going to guess Cardigan.
Cardigan is incorrect. Nick, can you steal?
Lying on the floor, lying on the floor. She's come undone. She's come undone.
She's come undone is correct. Ooh. All right. Ooh. Nick, you got the steal. And left we have toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, and food.
Let's go toys and games.
Okay. And it's the 90s again.
What 1991 board game, designed by Eric Randall and Laurent Lavar, comes with a board game designed in an aerial view, 7 specialized dice, 20 plastic race cars, and 10 dashboard indicators?
Oh, we played that. Go ahead. Sorry, finish.
That track cars' current gear and condition throughout the 1, 2, and 3 lap races.
Yeah, I think we played this at the last Jacksonville takeover. Formula D.
Formula D is correct.
And we absolutely did play it. It was fantastic. So good. Yeah. Great game. Yeah.
All right. Back to you, David. Let's get you caught up.
Slang, please.
Okay. Slang from the 80s.
What California English social dialect from the San Fernando area and its accompanying vocal features is popularly characterized by both the steady use of uptalk and its vocabulary?
Valley speak?
Valley speak or Val speak is correct.
Would you have accepted Valley Girl?
Actually, I would have accepted Valley Girl.
Good, because I never would have gotten to Valley speak.
All right, back to Nick.
Let's go to sports.
All right, Nick's finally hitting puberty, and we're doing sports in the 50s.
Say hey to what baseball giant who made his MLB debut on May 25th, 1951?
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays is correct. All right. David, fashion and food.
I will take food, please.
All right. for the food from the 90s.
What brand of chocolate, initially manufactured by Nestle and later by the Frankfurt Candy and Chocolate Company, consists of a milk chocolate shell with a hollow interior that contains smaller candies? It's wrapped in foil, placed in a small box, and packaged with a collectible sticker.
Is that Kinder?
Kinder is incorrect. Nick, can you steal?
I feel like every 90s food question, the answer should be Dunkaroos.
That's all we ate. That's all anyone ever ate in
exactly
the
90s. I have no idea. I was going to say Kinder Surprise. So if you immediately discounted Kinder without asking him to clarify, I've got no idea. Let's go with Dunkaroos.
Dunkaroos is incorrect. Adam, do you remember this one?
Yeah, I think it was this Wonder Ball.
Wonder Ball is what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Don't remember.
All right, and that leaves fashion for Nick.
As always.
So Nick, fashionable Nick. Man, from the 90s. Yeah. A lot of 90s today.
Founded by Kimora Lee Simmons in 1999, what brand focused on urban and hip-hop fashion, mixing bold prints, metallic fabrics, crop tops, and glamorous styles? It was known for its use of a cat logo, which appeared on many of its clothing and accessories. I'm not sure what a cat had to do with an overweight infant.
Oh, overweight infant. That was Baby Fat?
Are you asking?
That's my answer. Baby Fat was a fashion. I had nothing until that last clue.
Baby Fat is correct.
Yeah.
All right, that is the end of round one. Adam, what is our score?
All right, thanks to a steal and a missed question, Nick is in the lead, doubling up David. Nick has 60, David has 30.
All right, but anything can happen in round two. Since David picked first in round one, Nick, you're going to pick for David to start off round two. What category do you want to give him?
Let's go with fashion.
All right. And it's the 60s.
And this is a question from Jody Steele. Thank you, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
Thank you.
Characteristic of the British mod fashion of the 1960s, what style of men's clothing sounds like it's just fine?
Sounds like it's what?
Just fine.
I fine or fun?
Fine, F-I-N-E. Thank
you. Is that dandy?
Dandy is correct.
Nice. Wait, was that a guess or did you know that?
No, I pieced it together, fine and dandy.
Impressive.
All right. What category do you want to give to Nick?
Let's give him some toys and games.
Okay.
And it's the 50s.
I just want to say for the record, I'm so tired of researching 50s toys and games.
Time for an updated model. We're halfway into the next decade. You might as well drop the 50s and move into the 2020s.
Yeah.
What company introduced their Little People toys in 1950 that were basically a head with a cylindrical body and details drawn on? The line is still going today.
Yeah, it was it Play School? No, it was Mattel.
Mattel is incorrect. David, can you steal?
Well, I was thinking this before Nick said it, but I'm going to go with Play School.
Play School is also incorrect. Adam?
Mego? Did they do that?
Nope. It is Fisher-Price.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Okay. Who owns Fisher-Price?
No, I'm going to tell you what parent company.
All right. Nick, we're back to you picking for David.
Let's go to sports.
Okay. And we have got the 60s.
In 1961... who achieved something which has not been replicated by any other woman golfer since? She won three majors, the LPGA Championship, the U.S. Women's Open, and the Title Holders Championship. Her 13 majors still stand as the second most by any woman golfer ever.
Babe Didrikson?
Didrikson is incorrect. Nick, can you steal?
Yup, golf is one of my wheelhouses. Mickey Wright.
Mickey Wright is correct.
Never heard of her. That was never getting there.
If it makes you feel better, I hadn't either until I wrote the question.
Yeah,
I carried a placard in a women's major. like the little score placard with the scores.
Oh,
on the
yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're walking around.
Good for you.
All right. Unfortunately, David, you got to give Nick a category. What's it going to be?
Slang.
All right. And that will be the 90s.
When you wanted to claim something that was yours, you used what 90s slang that was derived from an old children's game?
It's usually the part where I talk out loud, but I forgot that David can steal.
Can you read it again?
When you wanted to claim that something was yours, you used what 90s slang that derived from an old children's game?
I don't know. Trippin'.
Trippin' is incorrect. David, can you steal?
I'm going to take a guess and say tag.
Tag is also incorrect. Adam?
I don't know the old game portion, but is this dibs? You're just, they call dibs
derived something? From an 18th century game called Dibstones. It is dibs.
We did better in the first half, David. I think we should go back to there.
All right. Nick, I think you were picking.
Yeah, let's go food. Okay.
And we've got the 60s.
This brand, first introduced in 1962 and produced by the Ferrera Candy Company, are a round citrus-flavored candy consisting of a sweet coating, soft sour shell, and a hard candy core.
Hard candy core. Can you read that again, please?
This brand, first introduced in 1962 and produced by the Ferrera Candy Company, are a round citrus-flavored candy consisting of a sweet coating, soft sour shell, and a hard candy core.
Lemonheads?
Lemonheads is correct.
Wow. I would have said lemon drops eventually. I would never have gotten to Lemonheads.
Yeah. They were. I remember eating.
Yeah,
so much
we ate them all the time. I don't. Yeah.
Literally the only thing I knew Ferrero for is the Ferrero Rocher. And I was like,
right,
I'd get off of there.
All right, David. We've got movies, music, TV, and literature left.
I will give Nick
and news and politics.
There you go.
I'll give Nick. Hopefully, pronouncing it this way will make it a harder question. Literature.
Going back and forth. And it is the 80s.
What character with a phasing ability first appeared in the Uncanny X-Men number 129 and was co-created by writer-artist John Byrne and writer Chris Claremont? She also had a pet dragon named Lockheed.
Phasing ability would be it's Kitty Pryde. Can I just go with that?
I mean, you can go.
Yeah, let's go with that. Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde or Shadow Cat is correct.
Yes.
I would have accepted either.
Yeah. I thought it was Shadow Cat, but I was more confident in Kitty Pryde.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nick, what are we giving to David?
Let's go news and politics.
Right. News and politics to David, and it is the 70s.
On May 25th, 1979, American Airlines Flight 191 outbound from what Midwestern airport lost an engine during takeoff and crashed, killing all 271 on board and two others on the ground. It was and remains the deadliest single plane crash on American soil.
Midwest Airport, I'm going to have to go with O'Hare.
O'Hare is correct. All right. So we got the big three left.
Yep. Let's see. I'll give Nick music.
Okay. And the decade is the 60s.
All right, now we got a question from Jackie LaFave. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
In 1969, Peter, Paul, and Mary had a number one hit with Leaving on a Jet Plane. But who wrote this song? Coincidentally, in 1997, this artist would die in a plane crash and had his ashes spread along the Colorado Rocky Mountains.
John Denver?
John Denver is correct.
Oh, he couldn't stop after who wrote it.
It was Jackie's question.
Yeah,
I'm just reading it.
Yeah, did not have it from the beginning. Got it from the end. So excellent work, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
all right, Nick, we got movies and TV.
TV.
All right.
Not giving David a movie category. Not if I don't have to.
No, certainly. All right, and David's going to get TV from the 90s.
Dr. John Becker goes through his daily routine of being a doctor, stopping at his favorite diner and other various situations, all the while hating life and everything around him. This is the plot of a 1998 series that starred what sitcom legend?
We watched this show and also starred Shawnee Smith, later of Saw fame. That would be Ted Danson.
Ted Danson is correct. All right, and that leaves movies for Nick.
It does.
I always thought of Becker as an early 2000s show.
Yeah, I mean, it's around then. Your movies question is from the 50s.
Hooray.
God bless it.
I hate so you're saying there's a chance.
I'm starting to hate the dice just as much as everybody else.
So I know.
No Time for Sergeants is a 1958 film about Will Stockdale, a country bumpkin drafted into the Air Force and too dumb to realize he's driving everyone around him crazy. It stars what Mayberry lawman?
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith is correct. All right, that is the end of round two. Adam, what is our score going into the final round?
All right. We kept actually the exact same lead that was in round one. Nick, though, has 100, and David has 70. Nick, you have a chance of getting again into the 200 club. And just to piss off Eric Eid, I'll actually send you a second pin if you get into the club
again.
You're not
trying to influence my wager here, are you?
I would never.
All right, well, let's find out what categories are going to go into the final round. Nick, since you have the lead, you get to pick first.
Let's go with, let's see, where did David struggle?
Probably the same place as you struggle.
Yeah, it's a fairly even match. let's go with, you know what? Let's go with fashion.
Okay. And it'll be from the 70s.
All right, and David.
I think I know Nick's strategy here, so I'm going to have to try and fight that. So I'll take movies.
All right. And that decade will be the 80s.
All right. So, gentlemen, based on 70s fashion and 80s movies, I would like you to send Adam your bids.
And remember, you could get a second 200 club pin.
You know, you keep pushing the all-in bet.
I don't. I'm just letting you know,
David,
it's an option.
David, what's the score? 100 to 70? Mm-hmm. 75?
100 to 70.
David's going to bet 69. For so many reasons. Can I use a calculator? Do I have to do it in my head?
No, you have 100. It's really not that hard to calculate from that.
Not like there's bonus brigade points in here.
Let's just,
yeah.
Let's exactly. Just say that the there's a good, I'm really happy there's not a math category on here. All right, I'm in.
Is David ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry. Both wagers are in.
Okay. All right. Here is your 70s fashion question. What American model, actress, and granddaughter of writer Ernest Hemingway gained success in the mid-1970s, appearing on the covers of Cosmopolitan, Elle, Vogue, and Time? Her later years were marred by highly publicized episodes of addiction and depression before her unfortunate suicide from a drug overdose in July of 1996. I need both first and last name. And your 80s movie question. Witness was released in 1985. Who played the policeman, John Book, who was investigating a murder in the Amish community?
Locked in. Just wanted to be.
While Nick is still thinking about his answers.
I got it.
I guess. Okay. Well, I'll go quick then, too. Go check out beefupnetwork.com, BFOPnetwork.com.
All right.
I had to go with whatever psychological advantage I could try and
try to lock me in so that I would overthink it.
All right. Well, David, since you were behind, what were your answers to the questions?
For 70s fashion, I said Margot Hemingway. And for 80s movies, this is one of my wife's favorite movies. And to date, the only one for which he has been nominated for an Academy Award, that is Harrison Ford.
All right. And Nick, what were your answers?
I definitely came up with answers. The witness was Harrison Ford. I mean, you said witness. I said Harrison Ford in my head. And then I listened to the rest of the question and I go, oh, wait, was he the stop overthinking it? Just write it down. So I did that. And then fashion wise, I went in a totally different direction. I went with Margot Hemingway with an X.
I have an X there, too.
Oh, well, then we have the same answers.
All right. Here are your answers. With 80s movies, the policeman was played by Harrison Ford. And in fashion, the granddaughter in question was indeed Margot Hemingway. So okay. Both players are going to be getting their bids. So let's find out what it was. Adam, let us know.
All right. As expected, David Avalafia felt he had to go all in, and he did with 70. So he will finish with 140 points. But what did Nick do? Conservative or not? Nick's message to me was all in. So ending the episode with 200 points, another entry in the 200, the second person to be a double time member. And I will send you this pin because I'm a man of my word. And just to piss off Eric.
I'm coming for you, Eric. I used to have the high score. He took it from me. I'm getting a third pin in this tournament.
He did. Yes.
All right.
Well done.
Good job.
Good game. Good game, gentlemen. All right. So Nick, since you will be moving on, we'll hear from you another time. David, now is your time to advocate for anything or curse the dice. It's up to you.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to curse the dice. Curse Nick, that, you know. I do that regularly, like every morning.
It's just part of your opening salutation.
Exactly. Right. Cup of coffee, morning yoga, right. Curse Nick. That's what you do.
But at this point, I just want to we're recording this today. My dad went into the hospital last night. Nothing major, but always, you know, at his age, something, even nothing is something. So, you know, feel better, Dad. And also just wanted to say thank you to you guys, to the Oaks Media Group, to Learned League, to OQL, for giving people like me and Nick, who are trivia hosts who don't get a chance to play all that much, the opportunity to play. So thank you for that.
Much appreciated. All right. So one more thank you again to David and Nick. That's Adam and I'm John. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
I'm John, and I'm the host of Action Action. Every week, I'm joined by James.
Heyo.
And Dustin.
Hello.
And each week, we review, debate, and rank a different action movie.
We're creating the ultimate list of action movies.
From awful to awesome.
So if you want to hear three more white guys with beards talk about action movies.
And argue about where they belong on our list.
And decide you hate us because we've made fun of your favorite movie.
Join us every Tuesday, and you can find us on your favorite podcatcher.
And Steven Seagal is a joke.